If you'll come with me to summary of statements before the court. And it looks like I didn't update that. It looks like it says through August 31st, but this is through... I printed the wrong sheet, guys. Isn't that something? Let's flip to page two, and we'll have to look at summary during full court.
Scott, it's on your email. Because you sent it to me, and I just had to flip over to the tab for September.
Thank you, Margaret. I'm going to read off an email right here. This is not going to match your first page. I've got to check my eyes first.
I feel like I need to check mine, too. Is that orange line really?
Well, yeah, we're not going to go quite to page two just yet, but let me look at this, what I sent Margaret earlier today, if I can get my eyes working. Ending balance, County General Fund 1,000, ending balance $1,742,633.26. County Road Fund 2,000, $4,688,423.54. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $2,997,166.37. Animal Welfare Control Fund 3404, $1,335,916.11. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund 3407, $1,781,365.66. Now to page two.
Scott, will you go ahead and give me the revenue number for animal welfare?
Revenue for animal welfare is $53,820.37. And
you.
I will email a copy of this correct sheet to y'all here in about 20 minutes when we get out of here, okay? And it'll also, as soon as it's approved by the committee, we'll also have that on the internet by tomorrow. Page two is County General Revenue, and I think I made a comment just before the deal. This is one of the few times in which I'm going to be excited about County General Revenue and excited about sales tax, both in the same month. We have been trending all year, and of course last year was 2020. We know it was not great. We held steady, but we sure didn't grow any. But this year, this is before taxes come in. You know, this is before we see our big jump next month, but we are... right at $1 million above revenue. At this time last year, we were in County General with revenue of $7.1 million. This year, we're right at $8.1 million right now. So, that all being said, man, we're in a really good place in County General. You know, only about two-thirds of our revenue is in yet with 3 months left. So, we've still got to wait. You know, of course, October, November are real big months. We'll see where we finish, but versus projected revenue, we're going to beat it and beat it well, unless something goes terribly wrong. But everything looks really good right now in County General. Flipping to page three, sales tax revenue for September was $1,077,034.69. That's 21.07% higher than last year. We are currently 15.64% better than 2020.
Better than last year?
We are 15.64, right here at the bottom. Tyler's at the bottom of your sheet.
Thank you.
You see her? No, go. I think you're going to need to go back one sheet, the running total sheet.
Okay.
Right there. There you go. I believe 2 or 3 months ago I said, you know, these numbers are way too high. We can't stay at this number, but we have. I had projected kind of middle of the year, we'd probably bounce back to about 10% higher than last year, which is still extremely high. But at this point right now, it looks like we are going to finish out the year about 15% better than last year. We're going to be flirting around the $11.5 to $12 million range in sales tax. That beats projections well over a million. Now, talking to Road and talking to Criminal Justice, I'm not going to revise these projections unless they need them revised in order to ask for additional appropriations. We're late in the year. We've got 3 months left. They're all within where they need to be at this time of spending. So unless something comes up that they need additional appropriation, we will leave that projection as is and start projecting for next year. Okay? But if they need additional appropriation in this year, we'll go back and we'll adjust that projection, because we are absolutely going to beat that $10.2 million projection. And then that leads me to page four. As of year to date, we're at $8,811,618.06 for the year. That's 86% of projected. And as you know, at the end of September, was in quarter three. That's 75% of the year. That's quite a bit better than where we need to be. And last page is just the pretty part of it. It's the graph. You can see that the three-month moving average continues to climb, and the one-year moving average continues to turn more an upward slope. Are there any questions? I just want to, the one thing that I want to mention is with part of this increased revenue, especially on the tax side, it's got a little inflationary component to it. And with that, we know that with inflation, you're going to have a little bit of increase on your expense side as well. So everything looks great, but just remember that there's some times coming as well on the expense side. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Sasson. Okay. The agenda tonight for the budget, for the budget and finance, we have ordinance 21-37, and we need somebody to. Yeah, there it is. Need a motion to put this on the table for discussion, please.
So moved.
Second. For the discussion, you can see on the summary of the proposed ordinance, sections 2 through section 9 are all transfers, and section 1 is the receipt of some grant money from emergency management. So, are there any comments or questions?
I make a motion that we move it to the full court.
Second.
Second.
All in favor indicate to move ordinance 21-37 to the full court for its consideration, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm not opposed. I just wanted to, I'll vote in the affirmative. I can take this up later, but why are there no numbers on this?
Mine has the.
It just says for more information to contact Angie, but I don't see any.
That's just your summary page. Just explains that way if you have questions,
yeah,
you know
it
who.
Yeah, looks so different. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
So then behind it should be your 37.
Thank you. Aye.
Got it? Anything further to come up before this committee tonight?
Chairman?
Yes.
When could we reenter discussions on the one-time bonuses?
You want to open the discussion?
I would like to, yes, sir.
Second.
Proceed.
Past few weeks, I have had conversations with several being more than two, county employees, including department heads and law enforcement. Every one of them has expressed an interest that the amount that we discussed the other day for a one-time bonus for the county employees be paid equally to every employee. Not one individual, not one county employee, not one department head that I had conversation with, not one individual that sent me an email, not one individual that sent me a text message, not one individual that sent me a telephone call or caught me in ropes, expressed an interest of having the one-time budget being less than equal for every county employee. I'd like to move ahead with the original, and I don't have a copy of it in front of me. Forgive me. I'd like to move ahead with the original proposal. I think the amount was for $5,500 for every county employee as a one-time bonus.
Did we not send that out already? That went out of committee last time, right?
So it went to the full court, and then the full court sent it back to committee.
It did get sent back to committee. All right. Thank you. I just have one question for you, Justice Boyer. You say every employee. I think the way the ordinance was written, or the appropriation was written last time, was it was every employee that was working, not from home. Is that what you mean?
I didn't demand the details from the employees that I had conversations with. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it would be the employees that are currently involved with employment with the county. Mm-hmm. I had no conversations with any employee that was not currently involved with the county. My perception would have been that there are a number in this room that I had conversations with. Every one of the county employees were in favor of every county employee receiving the equal, like amount of money. I think, and there again, I apologize, I don't have the ordinance in front of me. Perhaps somebody can pull it up real quick, and we can look the verbiage in the ordinance. But I am in favor of sending the full amount to every county employee that qualifies, that's eligible for this one-time bonus.
And Justice Boyer, I believe the two ordinances you're referring to are Ordinance 21-28, which is the rescue plan funding for the bonus, and 21-29, which is the CARES Act funding for the bonus. And I believe it was 5,600, but that's going off memory. It seemed like
55.
So 5,500, but it would be split between those two funds depending on whether the employee worked from home remotely or whether they were exposed to the public in some other fashion.
Justice Higgins, can you refresh my memory as to why it was sent back to committee?
Well, that would be based on discussion of others. I'll make a comment on this, and I think the way we had it broken down were probably full-time employees and part-time employees, and there was a different figure for the part-time employee, obviously, but here's my thought. We can make this as complicated and as painful as we want to, and we can look at all kinds of things. My thought on this is, I'd like to be able to reach out to our employees and just say thank you. Is an employee, because these are all going to be active employees, is there an employee that has been here less than another employee that's probably going to get it? And somebody else? Probably. But we have an opportunity here, I want to reiterate, in my opinion, to say thank you to our employees. And that's what I would like to see do. And let's don't make it, complicated. And, there's a lot of debate on, how the... regular market, the non-government employees, a lot of them lost their jobs and those kinds of things. And I have to admit that, my company was involved and we downsized and we did those kinds of things. But by and large, I had the opportunity to go to the Arkansas Association of Counties meeting and visit with most of our elected officials here. And so I queried all of them about their departments, who came in and who worked and who did things. And just a couple of things that I learned that mainly by working from home, it was harder on many of our employees. From the various, offices, because they didn't have the equipment and the gear that they needed, and it was tougher on them. I also talked with some deputies. One thing that I did not consider, but most deputies, by and large, have side jobs. They do things outside of law enforcement. To make ends meet, to support their families and do those. And those opportunities also dried up. And so a lot of, because businesses were closed. So whereas they might be providing security at you know, Sam's or Walmart or some other place, those opportunities dried up, and they, so not only you know, were they impacted by COVID and exposed, but they lost the side gigs. I mean, that's not our fault. That's not the county's fault, but it is a consideration, a mitigating circumstance when we think about this. So I'm just going to circle back around and say, you know, regardless of what happens tonight, I want Fulton County employees to know I appreciate what they did, and I want to do what I can just to say thank you to them.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I just want to concur with both of you. I agree wholeheartedly. I supported this the first time we sent it out of committee for the same reasons that you both indicated. I seem to recall that it was sent back to committee because there was some desire for continued discussion about other projects to do with the money to make sure we had enough for everything. But to me, this is a priority. Whether or not those other things happen or not, this is a priority for me. So it will always be at the top of my list, and I agree with you. I want to send this on and get this passed.
Two comments. First is a question for council. Can we pay $5,500 across the board? Are we going to have to do it, i.e. on hours worked?
The answer is it's on hours worked. That's the best way to pay if you're going to pay out of the rescue plan. And you can pay $5,500 across the board, but it's dangerous to use the rescue money to do that because the rescue money is very restricted in regards to how we use that. So if we were just using county general money, no problem. If you wanted to somehow spread the amounts that are left from the CARES Act, no problem. The problem is rescue plan is designated as premium pay. And because of the premium pay has special limitations, it's best not to just give a blanket number and use that across the board. So what we've done in Ordinance 21-28, what Margaret's staff has done, is they've taken every employee and they've taken the hours from March 14th, 2020 through August 27th, 2021. Which is 3,040 hours, and they have polled every elected official to see when their employees were in the office and when they were working remotely. And using that data, they've compiled essentially a calculation of what every employee or what every department, the time that their employees were spent exposed to the public and the times they weren't. And what you see then are two ordinances. 21-28, the rescue plan ordinance, which essentially provides for a maximum of $1.80 per hour for every employee that worked that time. So if they worked 3,040 hours during that period, they would be paid $1.80 bonus for their hours worked during that period. If they worked for 2 hours, they would be paid a $3.60 for the 2 hours they worked during that time period. But we've gone through and painstakingly itemized every cost, and we did so because the rescue plan is restrictive and also because we want to be as conservative as possible in not spending that rescue plan money correctly, such that later on when all of us have moved on, that whoever's left standing here won't have to answer to a federal audit saying that we did something improperly. So this is a very conservative approach.
Is there any sympathy on the committee to raise the amount from $5,500 to $7,500 to account for some of these employees who did not work all the hours, 3,000 and something hours, so that some of them, most of the employees will get something close to $5,500.
So Justice Pickett, I see the reasoning behind that recommendation. I hate to use a four-letter word here called politics. But I would really like to go with what we have, hoping that we could come to a consensus as a court, as opposed to jeopardizing that by going higher.
Well, under those conditions, is the $5,500 in jeopardy?
Well, obviously, it probably could be, because it was sent back to committee already. I think maybe we need to ponder. You know, that's part of what we're doing here tonight, is to make sure that we're, giving our due diligence as we look at this.
And Justice Pickett, if I may, because of the complexity of this ordinance, it is helpful to us, those that are creating the ordinance, to have that number in place before we go to full court. Because the problem is if this goes to full court and there's not a consensus, then essentially it will delay it until the next full court. So, which is okay. However, if we're not wanting to talk about this for 6 months on end, I would encourage this committee to build some kind of consensus before they move forward.
Mr. Chairman,
the current scheme that you and Margaret have worked up is based on $5,500.
That's correct.
And the hours worked?
3,040 hours.
So you don't have to do anything if there's no additional left on your and Margaret's if the ordinance that's been proposed and rejected by the court moves forward again.
It's ready to proceed if you want to vote on it.
May I address a question to the council? Is it possible that if we don't spend the entirety of the monies that's placed in these two ordinances for this one-time bonus now, if there's money left over, we could do another bonus at a later time, perhaps next year or before 2024.
So good question. Two things, though. First, Quorum Court doesn't spend, and that's just a technicality issue. Quorum Court appropriates. So, yes. So if I switch your words a little bit and use the term appropriate, can the Quorum Court appropriate this money now and then at a later time appropriate more money? Absolutely. Under the rescue plan, we have through 2024 to have a complete plan, and we can actually pay benefits or pay on projects through 2026. So this is essentially five additional years that we're looking at. So this is not just a 2021 issue.
Thank you. So we're not going to, just because we do something or don't do something tonight, it's not buried. There's potential for future additional appropriations.
Absolutely. And I think just going by what the county judge presented last month, I think there was a pie chart that he presented. And essentially from that pie chart, just from my memory, we're talking about 4% of the total of this. I think he had 6% of the total budgeted towards premium pay. So I think even in his mind that there was indication that at some point we might need to take a look at premium pay again.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So I'd like to follow up on a comment that the counselor made regarding the pie chart and then address Justice Pearson about his question he asked me earlier about why it was sent back. And that's a good point. There was some concern justifiably about, you know, this. We're attacking this first, our employees first, which by the way, I think is a good thing. But we're attacking this, and how would that impact the overall plan for ARP? And I asked the judge then if he would share his vision, and the reason that I knew that is I went to his office and asked him, because I was concerned about this. This is, you know, this premium pay is a pretty big hunk, and so he shared his pie chart with me. I think it's been modified. This is like a first draft, but when you look at the scheme of things in the broadband and water and jail extension, some of the other things that he has, sewer projects that he has on there, in the scheme of the pie chart, it's this little blue part, and even this is phase one is a lot higher. It's more in the scope of $10,000 per employee. That was just a number he threw out. And so we're cutting that in half and bringing it way down. So I think when you, maybe, again, not speaking for Brother JP, but maybe their concern was we were looking at this one issue without looking at the entire scope. And in our discussion, we were able to see a little more of the entire scope of the AR, the potential ARP expenditures.
Council, now I've got another question for you. If we pursue Justice Boyer's recommendation of $5,500 across the board, now can we take the money out of the rescue plan that's based on hours worked?
Yes.
And then what the difference between what comes out of the rescue plan and $5,500 can come out of the CARES Act. So when you add them both together, all employees get $5,500.
That's exactly what's been done. So the idea is that employee A, for instance, worked 3,040 hours and was always exposed to the public. 100% of that employee's salary, or excuse me, 100% of that bonus will be paid out of the rescue plan. Okay. Employee B, who worked half the time exposed to the public and half the time not exposed to the public, the way our ordinances are drafted is that 50% of that bonus will come out of rescue plan and 50% out of CARES Act. And let me remind this court that CARES Act money, $1.2 million, is on the backs of employee hours that were spent working during the middle of the pandemic. That's the reason this county has the money in the first place, is because we the county, submitted essentially an invoice for hours worked during the pandemic. And at that point, the federal government had given money to the states. That states kind of, Arkansas figured its formula. And based upon the number of hours, which we capped out, we actually had more hours available that we could have uploaded, but we were basically capped at 1.2 million, so we didn't need to upload the rest. But that was on the backs of county employees. Now, that money's now unrestricted, but I would just remind the court, even though it's unrestricted, the reason it's there in the first place is because of our county employees.
So the answer to my question is yes.
That's correct.
Is there anything further? Or do the five members of this committee have a consensus, $5,500 equally to all defined employees with the funds coming out of the CARES Act and the rescue money?
Just basically taking up the old ordinances and sending them back. Now that we have a little bit more of an idea and we can, you know, I think it's important to take into account what happened last time so we don't repeat the same mistakes, get folks' hopes up, and then we just find ourselves in the same situation. So I just want to be mindful of that. I am in favor of Ordinance 2128 and 2129 personally. I think there's a majority consensus on the committee for that, but do we feel like we have enough of the information to not deal with that same problem again, you know, potentially?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Forgive me. I'd like to piggyback off of what Justice Higgins mentioned a while ago about being mindful of our employees, all of them, and being knowledgeable that our employees are important to our county. And I want to reiterate again, one more time if I can, every county employee that I talked with, every department head that I talked with, stated fully and completely that all the county employees should be treated equally. No one county employee or department was better than any other county employee. They are all equal in respect, and they're all equal as the camaraderie
I guess maybe the part that I really was impressed with mostly from our county employees was the camaraderie, the fellowship that the other county employees have for each other. There was no backbiting, no malice, no negative intentions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are we ready to send it on?
You know, Mr. Chair, I think it would probably be appropriate. We have several other JPs in the audience. If they want to offer feedback that may support or counter what we said or not at all, now might be a good opportunity. I'm just suggesting that.
I'll stand up, please. Counselor, I got a question for you. Is the May 17th interim final rule the one that guys are spending on a recovery plan?
That's the one we currently have. I don't know if it's been finalized, but essentially, even without it finalized, if we approve an ordinance based on the rescue plan as it's written, that's the rule that it'll be judged by.
Okay. Because I pulled it up, and I'm looking at certain text that's in that, and the preambles to both these ordinances specifically state risk, health risk, is the reason for the premium pay. And it's obvious by the interim final rule that that's what the premium pay clause was in there for, was the exposure to health risk. It says here on page 12 of this document that I have, this PDF, since the start of COVID-19 public health emergency in January 2020, essential workers have put their physical well-being at risk to meet the daily needs of their communities and to provide care for others. This also includes, there's a list in here, in this on the same page, where it includes workers, including janitors, sanitation workers. So I don't think there's any reason to exclude anybody based on their job title, that if you're exposed. But what I want to go to is the next page, where it says here, premium pay or grants provided under this section respond to workers performing essential work if it addresses the heightened risk to workers who must be physically present at a job site, and for many of whom the costs associated with the illnesses were hardest to bear financially. So there again, associating the preambles, the specific addressing of risk is implied in here. And I know what you said about the CARES Act funding, but I want to remind everybody here that we have heard over the last several months numerous references to what we're going to spend at one point. It was $3 million at one point, so we have spent some of them, I think.
I could be wrong. It might be 1.3. Okay. Scott would have to check on that.
I mean, we've got an animal shelter that's going to need funding, and I've heard several references to over the last several months about money coming out of that. And so if we spend all that money, if we spend so much of that money where we don't have anything, how are we going to fund all these other projects? I know from looking back at past, before I was on the court, that coming next year we've got a 911 upgrade that's going to cost us maybe over $1 million. We've got to come up with money for that. There's all kinds of plans spending. I'm not against spending some of this on premium pay, but I'm saying we need to keep in mind what we have coming down the road that some of this money could be spent on. And I personally, I don't mind coming up with a bonus. I think that the premium pay is a good thing. I've got some other ideas as far as how we can make it work, where maybe reduce the cost here on the front end, where when we get finished spending all this money on other capital improvement projects, other things, long-term things that we need, that maybe then, like you said, that money's still available, it's still there, it doesn't have to all be dispersed at one time. That's my comments.
And I don't want to speak out of turn here necessarily, just to pick it, but I feel like it would be pertinent to bring up a conversation that I had with Judge Baker, who said that he felt all of our plans that we had for rescue plan, that whole pie chart, was on hold until we dealt with this issue, which means the quorum court could appropriate all the money for the rescue plan in the world, but it doesn't matter if the county judge is not on board to sign the contracts. So I would urge quorum court members that had concerns about long-term projects to reach out to the county judge to have those conversations about the long-term projects, because I think, at least in the county judge's opinion, from the executive office, there's a desire to solve this piece of the puzzle first and then move on to the remainder. And what I hear you saying is you want to solve the remainder, and that's a conflict between the two branches at this point that you may want to resolve before we move any further.
I can reach out to them and discuss that. I'm not against putting some of this money out there, but I don't know that $1.5 million is what I'm ready to put out there yet. That's,
well, those are my comments. And the other thing, Justice Allison, you have, and this is just my legal advice to you, and that is, if you object to paying someone that was not exposed or potentially exposed, then that's not a, that wouldn't necessarily be a vote against the ordinance in regards to the rescue plan, because the rescue plan is all exposure-based. Your concern then seems like more with the CARES Act funding, so the second ordinance that would come out. So it, at least from the concerns that I hear you saying, is that, yes, the rescue funds are fine because that's premium pay, just as you went through the preamble, talked about the exposure. All that are people that have been potentially exposed to COVID or operating public. It's the CARES Act funding that you may seem to have an issue with, which would mean some employee wouldn't get a $5,500 bonus if we cut out the second ordinance, but that might solve your concern as far as only funding those that are eligible through the rescue plan. It's simply voting for one and against the other.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, I can make these concerns, address these concerns in court. I think it's pretty obvious that the members of the committee, there's going to be enough of them to move us forward, and we can address this in court. I'm just expressing concerns that I think are going to come up from other members also based on what I heard in court last time, and want you to be aware of that. Of that. So, that's what I was.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Is there another justice that would like to speak?
You know, I think one thing we have to consider is that I'm not opposed to giving a bonus out of this funds to the employees either. I would have some concerns about the amount, and the primary reason for that is because I also, you know, I represent the people in this room, the people who work for the county, for sure, because they are citizens of this county and they are taxpayers also. But I have citizens of this county in my district who got zero bonuses, and they were working during the COVID too. And I also represent those people. And I did a little research, and there were companies that did give bonuses, like Harps gave some bonuses. And I would guess that probably of the companies that gave bonuses, the average bonus was probably in the neighborhood of about $1,500 or $2,000. And we're giving quite a bit more than that. And I guess the concern that I have is that how are the people that got zero bonuses out there that don't work for the county, how are they going to feel about us giving their tax money? Because this is their tax money. It's actually our grandkids' tax money. Because this is money from the federal government. And we pay those taxes, too. You know, I feel like that they might feel a little jilted. I guess I would feel that way as a taxpayer myself. But at the same time, I think the county employees probably do need a bonus or deserve a bonus. So somewhere in there, you know, I mean, we're talking about some pretty high numbers here for the bonuses. And I agree with Justice Higgins that I think that if you go too high with these numbers, that it's going to turn a lot of us off. It's going to, your support for this bonuses is going to, it's going to fall off significantly, I'm afraid. So that's my opinion.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions?
So Mr. Chair, I think my only follow-up to Justice Strain's comment would be, you know, I've been on the court for a few years, and there's years that we have gone through, and it's not really related to raises or anything, but at the same time, there's years, and the last several years, we've struggled as a county financially, you know, through our budgets, and have gone through the budget cycle and cut departments and not given raises and trimmed back on our end-of-year, you know, support for our employees. And so, again, I get it. I agree. It's a large, you know, sum of money. But we have a one-time window here. And I just, again, want to reiterate, I think it's an opportunity for us to say thank you and let's move on. But again, that's just, I'm just one vote.
Comments, questions?
Mr. Chair, I've already voiced my concerns about the ordinance, both in terms of the amount, which I think is shocking, and the issues with, you know, employees who have retired in the past are not eligible employees who left on good terms are not eligible for giving a thank you. I think those employees should be thanked as well. However, I won't rehash all that. I will vote to advance this to the court, keeping in mind that I think that we can. I do not support the ordinance, but I will vote to advance it.
You mentioned the yearly raises. Didn't the county get a big 1% raise last year? Pretty much a kick in the gut.
Some of my employees' checks are less because of that 1% raise. Yeah. Their checks are less because it kicked them up, and they're $8 less than they were before they got it.
I think we need to consider that.
Another question.
Yes, sir. One of the, talking about the pie chart and things that are coming up, we met with the safety committee about this reserve unit receiving some funds for new radios and body armor. I would agree. I was told today that wasn't going to come to the committee. I didn't know why until I heard counselor, but I can, with two of the board members sitting here, I would agree that that needs to be held off until these employees that for the county get paid. I think it's pretty important.
Additional comments? Ms. Lewis?
I just want to say what Philip said.
You have 30 seconds only.
I'm only going to take 15. I think that this backs up what Philip said about the way that the data was collected and the stuff was turned in for this $1.2 million to be gotten because of the employees and because of the status of them. So I also agree it should be spent on them because had it not been, y'all wouldn't have it to even be discussing. I don't think it should be a free pot of money gotten because of one thing and spent on something else.
Further comments?
Question. What is the total amount we're talking about? 5,500 times? What's the total amount of money we're talking about?
I don't have, the two ordinances in front of me. I don't know.
Was that 350 times 5,500 would be about $2 million. So we're making a $2 million decision.
It's everyone doesn't get the full amount. You get it based on the hours worked. Isn't that right?
That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about
it's what's in the ordinance 21, 28, and 21, 29. Yeah.
But it is prorated during the time if you weren't here the full period. It is prorated.
Right. So what's the total amount?
I don't have it in front of me because I
might be able to look it up. I think we do have a spreadsheet with that. But to answer your question.
One of them was 1.4.
If an employee works 2 hours during that time, they would get a $3.60 bonus, not the full. So it is prorated based on the number of hours worked. So it's not a flat across the board. It is about number of hours worked, which means if somebody started working at the beginning of this year, in January, it would only go from January through August, assuming they're still working here. But it is not a flat across the board. And I'll look for that number. We have it, and I can get that to you.
The American Rescue Plan is about $1.4 million, and then the CARES Act is about $300,000 to $400,000.
May I complete my talk? Sure. I just have this question. I look at it from what I've heard the last few months, and I would say this statement. Faulkner County is awash in money. $1.3 million from the CARES Act, $14.3 million from the American Rescue Plan.
It's 24.
Pardon me?
24
million. Faulkner County has a lot of money. The Quorum Court has a lot of money to spend in the next 12 months, 5 years, depending on which pot you're talking about. So there's a lot of money to be spent out there. And all I would say is I certainly hope it appears to be reasonable to the public. It appears to be in balance. It appears to be proper and a relative amount that makes sense considering the public's concerns and their issues they have. Because they're the source of the funding if you don't count the printing press. They're the source of the money. Eventually, it's going to have to be paid off. So all I would say, it needs to be, my observation would be, it needs to be in some kind of perspective that makes sense. And you all have to decide, is $5,500 really a proper amount? Does it make that? Does it make sense to the public? Or does that seem to be too much? Or too little? It may be too little. But somehow the taxpayer needs to be brought into consideration because that's the source of the money, not the quorum board.
Ms. Woolley?
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to, I know a couple of members of the audience has already spoken in reference to the CARES Act, and I know myself, for our department, we submitted over $1.5 million, and that was just two of our six payrolls. I didn't even process our other payrolls, ours, because it was already over the maximum amount our county could receive. And that was only for a time frame from March until December of 2020 for our essential personnel. And I worked with Sheila with OEM and got all those hours together and submitted them in a timely fashion, and that's how that money was achieved. And of course, only part of that is going to come out of this, but I can guarantee you the hours were worked by essential personnel over the time frame that this was granted to us.
Additional comments or questions? Okay, it's up to the, it's back in the committee's lap.
Justice Pickett, if I can, there's one last number. I did find the spreadsheet. The total amount from rescue plan would be $1,410,079. The total amount from CARES Act spending would be $432,225 based on these two ordinances. So basically, 1.4 out of rescue, 432 out of CARES.
1.8.
1.8. And if I can just follow up on that, and you mentioned earlier that the first pot of money exists because of the hours that were pulled together that Angie referred to, and your office alone was $1.5 million in from the share.
Two of the six payrolls, yes.
So all of them together could have been that 1.8, close there enough. I think that adds a lot of perspective to the amount that is worth considering. I'd be interested to know what that total amount was in the initial request to see just what type of portion this works up. But I just want to make note of that.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Question.
One payroll, 1/26 of 1 year is roughly about $400,000. These numbers look huge, and I'm not here to advocate one way or the other. That's y'all's decision. Y'all have tough decisions to make. And it is a big number, but we have a lot of employees here. So just remember that one payroll is roughly $400,000 that goes out. If that helps put it in any perspective, that's one, and we can get 26 pay periods a year.
Does the committee have a consensus?
Make a motion, we forward 21-28 and 21-29. The full court.
Second. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
It goes to the full court next Tuesday. Anything further before the
yes, Justice
tonight?
Justice Pickett, will you direct us on these ordinances that move from personnel to your committee on how you wish to proceed with these ordinances that just moved into your committee tonight?
I think we voted to send them to the Budget and Finance, didn't we?
Okay, and that's what this is. And so it was if they passed the personnel, it was on the agenda to be heard following.
Well, the question is on the two ordinances, four ordinances that were personnel sent to Budget and Finance, the only question I have is when the raises begin. And I would recommend that they are included in the next budget cycle, beginning January. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, I don't serve on the personnel committee, so I don't know, but when were these submitted, these requests?
Some of them were submitted in May, and some of them were submitted in September. And I don't know which was.
$33,000 was submitted in May, and $33,000 and $34,000 were submitted in May. The others were submitted in September.
Justice Pickett, I believe all of them were submitted in September. Some of them were resubmitted because the court voted them down, so they had.
No, they weren't voted down. They were tabled.
Tabled, so they had to be resubmitted.
No, they just had to be brought off the table again. They were submitted properly in May. They just wasn't heard.
They were submitted properly, but the committee and the court didn't act on them properly. That's the hang up. So, Justice Higgins, I'll follow your lead, and let's just keep it simple and push them all to January 1.
Well, that's a simple way, or based on the treasurer's report, and the fact that maybe the court didn't handle them as expediently as we could have, we could consider approving them and say thank you to our employees. Just a suggestion.
I'm kind of in line with that a little bit, because I think a lot of these come from dedicated funding streams specific to those
That's
departments,
correct.
Too. And, you know, we already raised one chief deputy salary for the county. And I'm concerned about, you know, doing that for one. Did we not
actually, it's on here to be heard tonight. It made it from personnel, but it hadn't made it through budget and finance yet.
For the circuit clerk's office?
Correct.
33,
correct. It's to be heard by budget and finance.
We just sent it to budget.
Yes.
Finance. Okay. Well, with that in mind, you know, I'm kind of thinking of these collectively. Personally, I'm of the philosophy that is shared by some others that if you're going to raise one, you should really try to raise them all, the chief deputy position. And the way these are written now, you know, I see no issue with advancing them to the full court for debate and getting them passed as written.
I would agree as well. The only thing I would point out is on 2135, I don't know if this was intentional or a typo, but it had no date of October the 19th instead of October the 9th. So I wonder if that needs to be changed to match the other ordinances.
It should be the 9th.
It should be the 19th.
Then they should all be the 19th.
They should all be the 19th.
And I think 34 needs to be, would be changed from September to October as well.
Correct.
So I guess first off, what we need to do to make it appropriate is I would make a motion that those are amended with the dates accordingly.
Second.
One at a time.
I think we're good. I think a motion would be proper and vote on the motion. Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion about sending them to the full court?
Well, that's actually amendment.
I think this is an amendment to change the date to October 19th on all of the chief deputy ordinances.
October
19th
is a Tuesday.
That's the day that it's all approved. That's quorum court day.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong thing. It should be the 9th. I'm sorry.
It'll be the
pay period beginning on the 9th. So I was looking at the wrong line.
So just to clarify, who made the original motion? Justice Higgins, your motion is to make the effective date October 9th and the approved date October 19th across all ordinances. 31, 33, or 32, 33, 34, and 35.
That is correct.
Second.
Okay. Further discussion about the amendment. All in favor of the amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now, we need an amendment.
Sure.
I mean, need a motion to pass the amended ordinances to the full court.
So moved.
Second.
And just to be clear, we're talking about ordinances 31 through 36.
32 through 36.
Yeah,
31 includes the circuit clerk.
It is 32 through 36.
I had to change the 31 to 36 because we used it last month. So that's why some of you are looking at old ordinances.
Thank you. All right.
So, we have the correct motion before us.
And second.
Yes. And second. All in favor of the amended motion to send these ordinances, whatever their numbers are, to the full court for its consideration.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Good. And those motions, Margaret, did you say they were 31 through 37?
32 through 36.
Okay. Anything else to come before the committee?
Now, the other issue that was passed on from personnel to budget and finance was the resolution that deals with the assessor's office. This is not written to go into effect until the first of the year. Is that something you want to take up with budgeting, or?
With budgeting, for sure.
I'm okay with doing that on that one, personally.
Anything further before the committee?
Move we adjourn?
Thank you. We're adjourned. Thank you.